So we sure again look forward to hearing from the group that went to Peru. Brother Kenny is going to be heading up this portion of the service. And so if you'll come and kind of take charge here and do as you wish, and folks coming, and we're staying in, right, to hear this. Okay. Brother Kenny Menendez.
All right. I got some Little Bear music for just for me. And I feel so on board now, right? But so Peru trip, we had a great time heading down there. There were seven of us that went. Of course, we had our pastor. We had Miss Claire. We had Miss Katie, Stanu, Brother Isaiah, and Miss Carol. And I was going to ask each one of them to come on up here and go ahead and share a little bit about what the trip meant to you. And you can join me on up here. And if you want to come on, each one of you just come on up at the same time. That'd be a good thing. Like right now, you know. You guys are leaving me hanging. Right? I guess I'll talk the whole time, I guess. But so, and each one of them, I'll just share a little bit about what the trip meant to them, and I guess what they saw and whatnot. And then I'll, of course, share as well. And then there's a couple of pictures and whatnot that I want to share with us as well. And I'll go through those after we're all done. So did you want to start us off here, Katie?
This was my first actual missions trip that I went on. I've been to a couple different countries, but more sightseeing. And I've really loved Spanish, the language, since I took it for a year in eighth grade and learned a few words. And then I went to Bible college, and at Howells Anderson, we go to Chicago every week. Just like we run buses here, we run a lot of buses there. And my bus routes were predominantly Spanish-speaking people. And so I used the few words that I knew and talked while I was there. And in the years that I was in Bible college, I learned more. So I'm not fluent at all. I probably would say 30 or 40% to where I would need to be to communicate everything. But I enjoy using it when I can, and I rarely do. Several times we went out passing out flyers and inviting people to the big day, and I got to witness and here when I witness in Spanish, I learned how to give the gospel, which is one of my heartbeats. And so if I mess up or I forget a word, then usually here somebody will, I'll say it in English and they'll be able to help me out, or there's a kid running around that can help me, or there they don't know anything, most nothing. And so God really had to give me the words and help me speak in tongues sometimes if I forgot something. No. But I got to lead three teenagers to the Lord in Spanish, obviously. And then another night we were out witnessing, and there was some guys playing soccer. After the game was finished, a lot of them went walking down the road. I was there, and I got to talk to them. So I got to lead quite a few people to the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that, because if they were, you know, I were to stumble or they were to ask too many questions, but God used that to help me to see people saved, which was awesome. One thing that the main reason why I wanted to go on this particular one is because Marjorie Biazzo was a very good friend of mine, is a very good friend of mine, and in our years where they were here at our church, we developed a good friendship, and it was very hard to see her go as a friend down there, though I was happy for her. And so that was the main reason when I heard the missions trip was coming up, is I've always wanted to go down and visit her, and it was the perfect time for me to get to go down there and see her. And so that was probably my favorite part, was just getting to spend time with her and encourage her and be encouraged. And one thing that she did mention, Miss Vicky had quite a few ladies, I don't know who, but wrote some cards and encouragement to her, and that made a really big impact on her. She said the night she got them, she sat and read them and cried after every one. So if you were one of those ladies that did that, that meant a lot to her. I know she looked forward to us going down there very, very much. I'm sure both of them did, the family, but it was such a huge blessing for her to see us come down. And as we were getting ready to leave, I was excited because I got to come back to my church family, got to come back home, and I missed home. And I was sad to say goodbye, but for her and for them, it was a very emotional time. It was very hard because I got to see firsthand how it can be incredibly lonely. You know, they're so happy to be there and serving and seeing people saved and lives reached, but for her as a pastor's wife, you know, she's so glad to be in that ministry, but you know, you're ministering to these people, seeing them saved. There's a whole lot of baby Christians there, and there's not a whole lot of, you know, friends and people that you can share your heart with, and so it was such a blessing for us to be able to come down, and hard for say goodbye. But it touched me to be able to see that, and you know, a lot of things we could take for granted, you know, in our homes or our lives, and obviously we saw quite a few different houses, situations, scenarios where people don't have the comforts that we have here, and I knew I would see that. But one thing that hit me was, you know, that it can be pretty lonely. And one thing that, you know, they have the Lord, they have each other, and they have these people that they're reaching, but we can just remember in prayer maybe them to that God would be an encouragement to them. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, Pastor and Miss Vicky, if America's the third biggest mission field, they came here pretty much in the same scenario 30-some years ago. They didn't know people here, and I'm sure there were times that it was extremely and can be discouraging or lonely. And now, you know, we have such a big community of friends and people here that I'm thankful for, and I'm sure we all are thankful for. But if we can just remember them maybe in prayer, just thinking about that, that God would continue to build it and build the work there, and just build the community of people and friends that she can have, you know, people here that she might touch base with. Just, you know, for me, it's just, oh, hey, you're one of my good friends, and I might message her on Facebook. But for her, you know, that connection and that meant a lot to me to see that and just to pray and encourage them. So there's some peace. Okay. All right, so the missions trip for me was kind of a big eye-opener because, I mean, I've never left the country before. I haven't even left the Northwest before. So for me, it was a whole new experience going there. I mean, activity-wise, we had a blast. Like, the first night we were there, we were already trying weird food. I had some ceviche, some cow heart. It was good stuff. And then, you know, there was another day I got to ride a motorcycle. That was pretty cool. And then, you know, we got to meet up with another missions team and go to Lima and kind of look at the mall and eat and have a good time. Spiritual-wise, though, I'd have to say my favorite part was probably the people. It's encouraging living here and knowing that there's a good Grammy Baptist Church in Beaver Creek, Oregon that loves people and loves God, but it's also encouraging to know that there's a Grammy Baptist Church in Pura that loves people and loves God just as much as we do. And for me, it was a little bit hard communicating with some of the members there because I don't speak any Spanish, so, and most of them don't really understand English, but as long as we had the translator there, it was all right. And I'm just going to say what I said to the people there, you know, even though I don't understand what they're saying and we can't really communicate very well, we still serve the same God. We're all still brothers and sisters in Christ, and it doesn't really matter if I can't talk to them now, because when we get to heaven, we'll have plenty of time to talk and we'll be able to communicate just fine. And yeah, I'm really going to miss them, and it was really great to be able to make some friends there and some amazing memories. So I just encourage you, if you get the chance to go on a missions trip, do it. It'll really encourage you. And then also, if you don't get the chance, just keep them in your prayers and then try to give as much as you can to them.
Hello, everyone. Anybody likes public speaking in here? Strange people. Anyways, I'm really nervous. For the trip, when I found out that we were going to Lima, I really wanted to go because one of my friends, Heather, lives there, and I went to college, to high school, graduated from high school with her husband, who many of you know about, Daniel Cocubon, and had a tragic accident where he passed away. but she decided to stay out there and still be a missionary. And that was my, that was what encouraged me to go on this trip. Though I also wanted to see Marjorie. We weren't really close, but before they left, we were friends. But it was mainly because of Heather. And throughout the being there, for those of you who don't know, I was born in West Africa. So all the things that I saw there was not very surprising. I felt like home. It brought back many memories and things that where I grew up from, and it was a great encouragement. People there don't have much, but you don't know that they don't have much because they don't take things for granted. They're content with what they have, and that's one thing that I'm going to miss. You have your texting. You forget about what's around you, who's around you, and there, they don't have that. Many of them don't have the phone, so they have to pay attention to the surrounding and love on the surrounding, and that's one thing that I'm really thankful for. We also had to got the opportunity to spend a day with Heather, and Miss Katie couldn't stop crying, but anyways, it was great to see her. She's a great encouragement. She's a strong lady. And she got to rub off on us a little bit. Though we were trying to be an encouragement to her, but I think she was more an encouragement to us. And I am thankful that I had the opportunity to go there, spend time with Marjorie and her family also. We got to go to the markets and see all the good stuff. Got to help the ladies cook for the big day, and that was great too. Katie, stop looking at me right now. Okay. I am really thankful for all of you who were praying for us and for those who helped financially also. It's an encouragement knowing that all of you here are praying for them, and they were really excited to see us. Just a part of Grandview there was a great encouragement. And I'm thankful for all of you. I thank God for placing all of you in my life. I may not know all of you personally. I'm working on it. I'm a background kind of person. I just stay in the back and watch people watching. Anyways, I'm not Brother TJ, but I'm thankful for all of you. And thank you for your prayers.
Not sure where I want to start. Getting up there, when we first got there, we got to go visit with a shut-in, just someone who just can't get to church. Pastor got to, read from the Bible just for him and his family. It was really nice, a very sweet family. So that's what we got to do that first night. And the second day, we went and visited a couple of schools. Got to see the kids' schools out in the middle of nowhere, dirt roads and bumpy roads, and got to see them and sing songs with them, and just got to enjoy them for a little bit. And then we went and passed out. I think in 2 days we passed out 1,000 flyers between, all different areas out there trying to get people in for their big Sunday, and had a lot of people sign up for that. And then seeing them all come in on buses was absolutely amazing. Like 30 people on a 15-person bus, and it was crazy watching them come out of that bus. But we had a really good day, and then they had a meal for them, and then they had the ladies. They don't have a kitchen. Their kitchen was a wood
wood stove.
Just the fire out in the backyard with some cinder blocks around it, and that's how they cooked the meal off of that. Absolutely incredible. I couldn't have done it. There's no way. I had a wonderful time down there. I loved getting to see John and Marjorie and see how, I can't believe how busy they are. They're so busy. And Marjorie went from 6 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, and I don't know how she did it. Absolutely amazing. Amazing woman, her and her husband. Thank you all for praying for us. I want to thank Pastor for giving us the opportunity to go, and I want to thank John and Marjorie for hosting us. Please keep missionaries across the world in your prayers. You just going out and seeing it, you just please do that. And if you're not given to missions, I'd recommend giving to missions. You'll be blessed. Thank you.
Of course, for me, this was like a new experience. I've never been. I've never been outside of the U.S., but it was, of course, a really good eye opener for me of how blessed I've been, because them over there, there's like trash all over, and to them, it doesn't really even bother them, and. I don't know. Sorry, I kind of get emotional when I do this, but for me, I kind of feel like God's calling me into missions, and the reason why I wanted to go is because I'm planning on leaving college in January, so I wanted to see what God would do. And when I went over there, I felt happy. Like, I just felt like that's what God wanted me to do, but then when the time came that we had to leave, I was like, I don't want to leave. I just want to be over there. Even though I don't speak the language or any of that, but I just felt like this is what God wants me to do. But other than that, I don't really know what else to say. Yeah.
All right. And Isaiah was quite the ladies' man down there, too, you know. All the girls over there were thinking, man, who's this white guy, you know, and wanting to get photos. And we got some photos here in a little bit to show you. And I made sure that we picked the one that where he was surrounded by girls, you know. I was like, let's see where's... I know there's one in there. There's about three of them that are with him. So, yeah, I put one of those in there. But for me, for the missions trip, I mean, for Peru, it was my first missions trip out. And I like that... how the Lord worked it out, you know, for this one to be specifically the one I got to go to. Just like I said to the people there on the last night at their church, Iglesia Bautista Vista Grande, right? The Grandview over there. I told them, I said, hey, you know, there's always been a special place in my heart for the Hispanic people, you know, because that's, you know, my heritage. And being able to speak the language there with them, you know, I definitely took advantage of that. And I believe, you know, the Lord really tugged in my heart and touched my heart in a special way because I was able to do that. I was able to talk to all the church members and the people in the cities and encourage the people there in the church. You know, I made sure that I got around and I told a few of the church members there that are serving and trying to do their best to follow Pastor John. I told him, I said, you know, thank you for serving the Lord. You know, just keep going forward. It's really important what you're doing. And then brother John, he's a good friend of mine as well. I got to know him here at course at Grandview, and got to serve side by side with him in several opportunities, especially in the bus ministry, and that was always fun, being able to have that healthy competition between him and I. And there was a couple times where we had gotten together and ran a route together one time where I drove the bus and he would control all the kids, and I remember all those things. And So when it was time for that Peru missions trip, I thought, you know what? What a trip, you know, to be able to go see a friend of mine that I served right here in this church. Let's go see what God's doing in his life over there in Peru. And I got to see just that, you know, what God's doing through his life. And it's just remarkable, you know, phenomenal to see being on a different foreign field and seeing the same things you see here. You know, people are getting saved, people's lives are being touched, and it doesn't matter where you are in the world, man. The people need the Lord, and I got to see that. And another reason why it's important to me is because you know, as a kid, I went to the Powell Hurst Church in Portland. I remember getting saved there, but as a young kid, I remember that my mom, she wanted to go to a Spanish-speaking church, and we found a Spanish-speaking church, and that Spanish-speaking church was one that the Chambers had started here in Oregon, and I went there, and so that's where I got to know them as a kid, the Chambers, and being able to not only have known them all my life, and then being able to go down there to Peru to see part of their work over there. That was another thing that was important to me. And so I praise the Lord for that opportunity. As far as what it meant to me, seeing the people out there and how happy and grateful they were, it made me feel just like everybody else that spoke here tonight already. It made me feel happy to be there. It made me feel like I wanted to stay there because it was like as if it was almost like you're carefree over there. There was times in where I felt almost ashamed, you know, of the way that sometimes we act over here in the States, you know, having so much and having so many blessings, and you know, not being able to see the way that other people live, and to them it's just normal, you know, they don't know any different, you know, and it was just good to be amongst them to see that. I know that when I was helping in the church on Sunday, working in the children's church and being able to run that, an interesting thing happened. You know, I'm giving away some dollars, and that was the special treat to the kids. I said, here's some U.S. dollars, and everybody was thrilled about that. And so here I am giving away these dollars, and I had probably like four in my pocket or something like that, and I'm giving them out little by little, the ones that would win. And the thing that was interesting is the teen worker that's there helped me. He comes over and he whispers in my ear, he goes, can I have one of those? And I was like, what? And it kind of threw me off. I was like, what? And he was just like, I want one of those. But the look on his face was a genuine, I want that. It wasn't, you know, just I want one just because, you know, give me that. It was a genuine, it was special for him too. I had a bag of cookies, I believe they're called the Rellenitos, little cookies. They're like little Oreos. They're strawberry filled and cream filled and chocolate filled. I'm giving those out to the kids, and I had a bag still left over after I was done, and I went to the kitchen where all these adult ladies are working, and they told me the same thing. You know, I'm like, you know, just walking around with my cookies, leftovers like usual, I guess you could say. And they're just like, they were asking me, they were like, can we have some cookies? Can we please have some cookies? And the grandma needs two cookies. And she's like, I want two. And I was like, you know, it blew me away, you know, to think, you know, that it was a special thing for everybody. It didn't matter what age you were. And here I am giving the grandma who was cooking over the wood pit, you know, on bricks and wood. And I was like, Grandma, you can have whatever you want. You know, you don't even need to choose what flavor. You know, and I'm just giving her the flavors, and everybody was thrilled. And I'm just like, man, they're just cookies, but it's a special treat. You know, they don't get that. They don't get that. I mean, we showed up with it, sure, but it's a special treat for them. So to see those things, you know, it's just, it really worked my heart over. And so I was just thankful to be there. I got some photos I'm going to show us now, some slideshow of all the week that went through. And so I'm going to go through each of the photos. We got, I think somewhere around 30-something photos, 35 or so. But here we go. I got it here on my monitor. So here's the first day when we were taking off. And there we go. And so here, of course, we're having our word of prayer, asking the Lord for some traveling mercies and for safety during the flight. And see if I get this thing to click over. There we go. So here we are. We arrived in Piura, and we got to get off of the airplane with the steps. You know, it's a smaller airport, so they brought the stairs to the airplane. And I remember telling everybody as I got off, I was like, man, I feel like I'm the president, you know, and I'm getting off the plane. I was like, let's get off the plane, guys. Come on, hurry up. You know, this is presidential. And nobody else thought it was as funny as I thought it was, but But we got off, and I felt special, at least for that moment. I didn't care what they thought, but here we are, Pura, and of course, Pastor's taking the photo, so that's why he's not there. Well, we got him later in here. The next photo we got. Here we go. And our favorite transportation, the moto taxis. So imagine that. You got a motorcycle, and you got a three-person bench, you know, basket, basically, attached to the back of the motorcycle. And they're all over the place in Pura. I mean, you just look down the street, and they're coming down the road. You just got to, you know, wave them down, say moto, and they'll stop you. Or they'll ignore you if they don't want you, you know. But that's how our main transport. So here we are the first night, Tuesday. We had just got to the hotel. And the neat thing about the hotel is the hotel was just about three houses down from where John and Marjorie's condo is. And so that was neat to be able to be so close to them. So every morning we would just go over there and meet with them. And so here we are. The one on the right is one of the church members. His name is Hilario. That's his moto taxi. And then you got Miss Claire and Miss Katie are in there with big smiles because they're about to take their first ride. And then the next photo, like we mentioned earlier, we did a Tuesday night shut-in visit with a gentleman who's unable to come to church. He's basically just was paralyzed, and so we were able to do a service for him and be a blessing to him. And I believe he really was blessed. And then we went to La Taberna. And this is a restaurant there in town, and we got to experience our first plate of ceviche and the fried fish. And none of us were brave enough, but they had guinea pig there if you wanted some. On the menu, it's called I think it was called the cuy, I believe it's called. But it's like a guinea pig like this on the fried guinea pig like this on the menu. I'm just like, man, he looks like a flying squirrel or something. But none of us were brave enough to order it, so we didn't. We just had the other stuff like the raw fish and the cow heart and whatnot, and I got to eat a little bit of all that stuff too. It was pretty good. I don't know about the guinea pig. Oops, skipped over. Here we go. So the next day, Wednesday, was our first official full day there in Pura, and we went to the bus station and got on our bus because we were going to go speak to two different Christian schools. And so here we are. We got a picture of all of us on the bus there getting ready to go down to Suliana is the place that we went to. And I guess it's kind of a smaller picture, but this is Marjorie's school where she grew up in, and her aunt actually runs this school, and there she is taking a picture with her daughter, and that was the first school we got to go to, so we got to drive through that neighborhood, and it was our first experience to see the way that a more smaller town live, and so we got to see that, and then I got to talk to the kids. I think that's the next photo here. Here we go. So we got to speak to all the kids of that Christian school there. I got to talk one of the kids into taking a photo with me. There's that. So while we did that, we also had another group, the little kids in another building. And there was like the 4 and 5 year olds. They had their own little service there. And I believe it was Miss Katie and pretty much all the ladies went over there and left Isaiah and me over there to handle these kids. And we handled them so-so, I guess. It was fair. But we had we had plenty of the lady teachers there as well, but it was interesting, we'll say. And then at the other school in Suliana is a bigger Christian school, and so we went to go meet up with Pastor and Brother John there at that church, that school and church, and they were having a meeting for all the teachers, and Pastor was speaking there, and so we went and we joined that meeting. And it was all right, but we saw a bunch of kids out there that were waiting to get picked up because it was the end of their day because all the teachers were in the meeting. And so we decided, and I know that Katie was like, let's go talk to the kids, you know. So I spoke to the pastor. I said, hey, you know, is it all right if we talk to the kids? He's like, sure. And so we all took off and went to go talk to the kids, and we got to take pictures with them. You see Miss Carol there with some of the girls, and Miss Katie there is, I don't know what she's telling them, some kind of story, but she's, of course, the star of the picture there, as you can see. And then the next photo, I told you, see, there's Isaiah. And there's three girls there. They were thrilled to take a photo with him. And so we got a photo for him. And Miss Katie's over there talking. And but Isaiah wasn't the only one, though. Hold on, we got some other photos here. And then, yeah. Then you got Nana over here on the left with the girls. And then these two teen guys right here, man, they were like, man, we got to take a picture with an American girl, you know. And they were asking me, they were like, hey, you know, can we get this, we got to get a photo. And I was just like, ignoring them kind of, I was like, yeah. But then your pastor shows up, and so Pastor and I ganged up on him. And he was like, don't you guys want to get a photo with the American girl? I said, oh, yeah. So anyway, here we go. And I went to go stand with Claire, because this guy was like, he was like ready to, and I was like, relax, brother, you know, relax. So he put his arm down, you know, I kind of calmed him down, and Pastor took the photo, right? And he takes the photo, and these guys, they come to talk to me. They're like, hey, you know, you guys got Facebook? And I was like, oh, sure, we got all that, you know, and sure, look me up, you know. And they're like, are you guys going to upload that photo? I was like, sure, you know, sure, yeah, well, you'll get a copy, no problem, you know. And later they sent me a message, and they were like, hey, you know, send us the photo, send it. And that was the end of it. We didn't share the photo. I said, the only photo we got is right here, and those guys missed out, you know, because we got a good girl over here. We don't want, you know, we checked their Facebook profile, Pastor and I. We look, it's not a guy, not a nice guy, you know, so we didn't upload the photo. He didn't get his copy, but they thought they were going to get one. Next photo here, we got after we were there in Suliana in that Christian school, we got to go have lunch with everybody. I believe we got Ruben is the guy that's sitting across from me. He's the bookkeeper there for the school. And then a little bit over next to Isaiah there, you got Miss Jessica and then Pastor Henry. They're kind of looking the other way, but they're the pastors there of the church that's connected to the school. So we got to enjoy some fellowship there and have a good meal. And then they asked me to, this thing's going on auto here. Thank you, sir. And then I was asked by Pastor Henry to stay with him in Suliana and to speak to his people at the Wednesday night service. And so I agreed and I stayed, and the rest of the group took off. And I got to go to the pastor's house, and I stayed an afternoon with him. And while we were there at his house, he said, well, let's go downtown Suliana, and I'm going to show you around a little bit. And so I said, okay. So we went, and as we're taking a taxi ride up there, I'm telling him about the Chambers family and whatnot, and he was just like, you know what? He said, we need to change the plan. We need to go to the first church that the Chambers planted here, the mother church. And so we went, and there it is right there, the Iglesia Bautista Divino Redentor. And I got to take a picture there, and it was a special afternoon. We got to talk about basically what it means there, that church. And you can't miss the church. It's right there in the middle of downtown. Basically, you're coming down the strip where the cars drive and the people are walking, and then you're forced to turn right, and you're forced to turn right where the church is. And it's just right there, and you have to, you can't miss it. It's there. Everybody sees it. And so it's just, it was good to see that and talk with the Pastor Henry and be a blessing to his people on Wednesday night. And then I believe this is some photos Wednesday night of the rest of the group. They went to the church service. This is the inside of the church there in Peru. This is the picture there on the left. That's like the main entrance. The huge door right there is basically half of the main steel door that closes the building in. And then that's the auditorium there on the right side. So you have some of the seats there. And then that white cloth that you see there is basically what divides the back half of the building. And on the back half of the building, they have the teenagers on that side. So on a Sunday service, they'll have the adults there in the main auditorium. The other side, the teenagers are usually being taught right there. And then they have the bathrooms and whatnot over there as well. But we put all the church photos together. So here's the backyard of the church. So the photo on the left is just basically from the back wall of the backyard to the front. There's the rear entrance of the church. I think that's where I'm standing there. And then the photo on the right, that's their kitchen area, and that's shielded off. So on the other side of that is where they have their brick little stove where they put wood in to make the food, and they'll set up tables and whatnot. And then this is where they do the children's church and Sunday school. So when we got there, it looked like this. You have how they have the little unlevel concrete. On the left side, they would have the boys' Sunday school. And on the left side, or on the right side, they have the girls' Sunday school. And then after it's all over, then they just combine all together. But the way that they were originally sitting was there's stacks of bricks, as you can see, in a U. And then there's like about two benches there. And that's what they were using to sit in for their services. I got another photo here. Then later we decided we were going to change that. And with the brother Hilario that's there in the church, like I mentioned to you, he has his own moto taxi. We were coming up with a plan. How do we make this children's church a real good one? How do we make it exciting? You know, and Brother John had an idea. He wanted to get benches. And so he knew one of the lumber mills there, so we went there. And he was like, we'll load it up in the moto taxi. You know, we don't need truck or we don't need that. Let's load it up, brother. And I was like, let's do this, you know. Let's a couple of laymen to do, you know. And so we go all the way down there, you know, and pay the guys for the wood, and we loaded it up. We took the seat out of the back of the moto taxi and just slid in all the boards. Put the we had some bamboo that we were going to set up to use for a tarp to shield from the sun. And so that's what's on the top. There are these long sticks of bamboo and then the lumber on the bottom. And we were, and on the right photo, you might be able to see it. There's a little red flag. We were trying to be safe. You know, we wanted people to see. We went down the road, and I think I got another photo of it. I think I put that in there. The next photo, I think, shows you the ride. If it works. There we go. So we successfully made it. There's the church building right there. So as you can see on the left, I'm sitting on the boards. We put the cushion back on, and I just laid on it. I was like, let's go, brr. And we're driving down the road, and he's like, look, keep looking out the window. And I'm peeking out the window, making sure the bamboo doesn't slide, you know, from side to side. But he tied it pretty good. I was impressed. And so I was looking, and my favorite part was seeing the expression of all the other taxi drivers. They're just like, you know, we're switching lanes. I'm like, watch out, here comes the bamboo. He's like, the guys are just like, whoa, you know. I'm like, yeah, red flag, buddy. You know, there's a red flag. And so we had a ton of fun bringing that stuff. And so this is the main entrance of the church. That blue sign says Grandview Baptist Church in Spanish. There's another photo, I think, of the actual sign, so you can get a good view. So this is the final product of the children's church here. So on the left, we got you can see how it's divided. So we set up a cloth, and it ended up being a drape cloth. So during Sunday school, we got the drape cloth up, and so the wind doesn't blow away the cloth. We got some bricks are tied up to the bottom of it, and it weighs it down pretty good. I was impressed the way he set it up. And so they had that set up, and then after Sunday school's over, we were able to slide it close, and we said, all right, everybody, let's get together. And it was neat to see the children's church, the back area, you know, be transformed, and that was a good place for them to be there for that Sunday. And so that was special as well. And then these are pictures that Pastor was having fun taking. So here we are in the backyard of the church, same place where the children's church is, and the planes are literally, I mean, it almost looks like we photoshopped that plane in, but it's not a Photoshop. They're really about 20 feet over the building, just flying over. And so here we are. I think we were just one of the afternoons back there talking with John, and a plane just came by. Pastor got some photos. When you're inside the auditorium and a plane's coming, you can kind of tell from a distance that it's coming. And by the time it hits the top, you just got to take, you know, about a two-second timeout. Passes on by. And not only do we have this going on, but I was also there, I think, on a Thursday afternoon. I was with John there. I think it was just him and I. I was in the front of the building, and I kept hearing these shots, you know, boom. So I was just like, man. So I'm standing out there, and John's like, you hear those shots? I was like, yeah. He's like, they're doing sniper training on the other side of that wall. And I was like, really? He's like, sniper training? I was like, man, this is cool. And so I took a video. I was trying to look over the wall, but, you know, never got a successful look, you know. So I was like, all right, you know, pretty fun. So next photo we got. So this is the main entrance of the building. So they got a beautiful sign there. And then they open the door fully open when they have service, so everybody can just kind of come on in. There's also a man door, so they don't have to open the whole thing. But I want to make sure that I showed everybody the circuit board that they have there at the church. Pastor said this is the way we're going to set up the new building in the back. So I wanted to give you guys the new plans on what we're going to do. It's pretty simple. I think I might sign up to do that one. You know, it's not that bad of a job, so I think I can pull that one off. But anyways, and then we had mentioned earlier that we pack people in these vans, right? So I think it was Thursday, I want to say. We went to the markets there in Pura, and in this van we all got in. We sat, there's like a bench right behind the driver's seat. That's where John and Isaiah and I are sitting, and then the rest of the group is in there. We had 27 people in this van, and it's probably, you know, probably a 15-passenger van, but we had 27. They had like four guys in the front few seats, and then just everywhere you could fit. And one guy was literally outside the window. he was the guy that runs the show for, you know, collects all the money, but he's sticking his head out. I think he was telling people that we were full. And, but it was definitely interesting. It was fun. This is the outside of the hotel. So we stayed at the Hotel Aurora, and then on the right, and then on the left, that's the apartment condos where John and Marjorie live. And like I said, they're just three houses down. And I just I put a photo in there. I think this is probably either Thursday night or maybe even Saturday, just some of the towns we got to go through for soul winning and outreach. And so this is a little bit what we experienced as we went to knock doors and talk to people. And as we were getting ready for the big day, so we didn't have to move everything in the moto taxi. We do have what's called the El Fugon, is what they call them. And these are basically same design. You got the motorcycle front end, and on the back end it's like a little mini truck bed. And so one of the brothers there in the church, we called him up, and he's got one, and we took a ride in the back. It was Isaiah, Brother John, and myself. We all climbed in the back, and we went to go get some chairs for the big day. Funny thing happened. We were going to the store, and they're doing a routine traffic stop. And the lady is like, "So where are you going with all these guys, you know, in the back?" And we're just going to go get some chairs for the big day. And she's like, "So you got insurance and everything, you know?" And I was actually surprised this was going on. And he was just like, "Yeah." And so he pulls out his insurance card, and it was expired. And so he got a ticket. And I was just like, "Man, you know, God bless him. You know, getting a ticket on the way to help us, you know." And I passed John a track. I was like, "You know, maybe she needs to get saved, you know." And so John had a track for her, and we made sure that we got her that, you know, and gave her a little mini witness after she gave us the ticket, you know. So, and then this is where we got the chairs from. So Macro, this is the Peru Costco, and then they got Peru Costco, they got Peru Home Depot, they got Peru Lowe's, and they're all the same color. And you got the Lowe's is blue, the Home Depot is orange, and Costco it's red. And so that's where we got the chairs there. And then I got some pictures of the flyer we were using for the big day. So basically this is just saying that we're inviting you to our big Sunday on the 29th. And on the flyer it says that there's going to be a free lunch, there's a drawing, and many more surprises. And then there's a group of people from, a group of brothers from the United States that are visiting with us as well. So that's that. And then on the right side it's just John giving us a little encouragement pep talk on it was either Saturday or Friday about going out and visiting and getting rid of those 1,000 flyers out there. And then we did a clown car fill up right here. We got that's Isaiah on the front seat with Brother Jesus, and then the taxi driver, and then there's the three of us there in the back, Miss Carol, Miss Katie, and myself. And so all six of us got packed in there. And I remember telling Isaiah, I was like, "All right, Isaiah, get in the front seat." He's like, "Where?" "Just get in the front seat." "Where?" I was like, "Just get in the front seat. He's going to scoot over." And he's just like, "Oh." And I shut the door for him, and it's pretty good. And here's a photo of, so we went with Brother Jesus to his town. And this Brother Jesus, he's wearing a hat. He's the guy on the left. This is his hometown, his neighborhood. We went to where he lives. And he's like, "This is where I live. I live at the very far end of the road." He said, let's go out there and we'll visit some of my faithful riders that come. And we're going to go sign some people up. And I said, "All right." So the funny thing about him is that hat he's wearing, not only are we serving Jesus and his name is Jesus, but his hat said "Property of Jesus." So I thought it was just hilarious. I said, "Here's Jesus inviting people for Jesus." But anyways. And the next photo is, I think, a photo of us just talking to some people. I was there inviting a family there on the left. And then another brother there inviting another family, getting them all signed up for Sunday. And then this is Sunday morning. So Sunday morning we had a couple vans show up, like the one you see here on the left, just full of people. And then several people took their own moto taxis into the church. And we were just, to the ones that weren't able to pay for it, they were paying off the taxis there. And that was just how the people were just coming in. And then this is the Sunday morning service from the corner. You got Brother John there translating for our pastor. And everybody just getting there. They got the Sunday school and the service both by our pastor. And then in the back, the backyard, here's the children's church. I'm there on the left praying with all the kids. And then we got some singing there with Miss Katie and whatnot. And kids had a lot of fun with that, with all the songs and games and all that. And then here's a picture of the kitchen. So there's that wood stove that we were telling you about with the bricks and all that. That's where they were putting those huge pots of rice and meat and whatnot that they were cooking. And then two of the ladies that were there, they were there all morning and all afternoon just cooking up a storm. And then a couple of the final photos. So this was the guy that I mentioned to you that owns his own moto taxi. The guy on the right, that's Hilario. And then the guy on the left, that's Juan. And they're both just serving in the church. Hilario on the right, not only does he bring people to church, but he also helps Brother John run the sound and the projector. And then he also does the boys' Sunday school and helps run the children's church as well. So we really got to know each other pretty good and work together. And then just as a humorous photo, I got on the right there. They got payphones in the city, so I took a photo there. You know, I'm ordering a pizza, you know, for the corner of El Ovalo and whatever corner we're at, you know. So that's what I'm doing there. And then this was as we're flying away from Pura, you know, by Pura. And that's that concludes the pictures there. So, and that was our trip to Peru. So we encourage you, if you've never taken a missions trip, you know, take one. I'm sure there'll be another opportunity here at our church. And make sure you keep John and Marjorie Biazo in your prayers as well for the work that's going on there in Pura, Peru.
Thank you, Brother Kenny, and all that shared your testimony. You know, even a unique service like this, the Lord can speak to our heart about missions. He can remind us the importance of giving so that folks such as John and Marjorie and others can be what those folks need them to be in that area. We're going to have just a brief time of invitation and given us an opportunity to, for any other reason, just to maybe come forward and pray for the Biazos and ask God to continue to bless and work in their family and their ministry. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.